Hello, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. Houston's community station, 90.1 FM and FM HD1. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. In this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1078, we will talk about the historic grand opening of the Sinan Shibani Marsh Arabs project and the construction of the amazing Modif structure on the lawn of Rice University in Houston, Texas. This is the first time in history that a traditional Modif is built outside of Iraq from reeds shipped from Iraq to the United States. The Modif is a reed guest house. I attended that special grand opening event and spoke with many of the attendees, and I will be airing many of their remarks about Iraq, its culture, heritage, the Modif, and what it means to them, and much more. Before I do that, I want to share with you some information about the catastrophic earthquake in Morocco and the unprecedented deadly flooding in Libya, two Arab countries in northern Africa, and how you can help. On September 8, 2023, a major earthquake that registered a magnitude of 6.8 hit Morocco. It was the deadliest earthquake to hit Morocco in over 60 years. According to the Moroccan Ministry of Interior, nearly 3,000 people were killed and nearly 6,000 were injured. The numbers are expected to go higher. Several villages were wiped off the map by this catastrophic earthquake, and rescue teams are facing challenges reaching many areas as the search for the thousands of missing people and survivors trapped in the rubble of flattened villages continues. It has been a challenge for rescuers to reach remote mountain villages where victims are still being trapped. The massive earthquake struck 45 miles southwest of the ancient city of Marrakech, a popular tourist destination. Images on TV show this massive earthquake has devastated the landscape of Morocco. Several aftershocks continue to hit Morocco. On September 10th, an aftershock of magnitude 4.5 rattled the affected region in Morocco, and on September 14th, another aftershock of 4.8 magnitude hit several areas in Morocco. Several countries, including the United States, have offered assistance to Morocco. In Houston, Texas, the Arab American Cultural and Community Center and the Moroccan Society of Houston, in collaboration with the City of Houston and its mayor, Sylvester Turner, will host a donation drive on September 16th and 17th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. to gather essential supplies for those impacted by the earthquake in Morocco. The donation drive aims to collect essential items that will be of immense help to those grappling with the aftermath of the earthquake. The needed items include coats, jackets, pants, gloves, socks, shoes, tents, blankets, sleeping bags, thermos bottles, hygiene kits, first aid kits, and flashlights. Two drop-off locations have been established for those wishing to contribute to this humanitarian effort. The Arab American Cultural and Community Center on 10555 Stancliff Road and at a warehouse on 8500 Market Street, Suite A in Houston, Texas. Donors are encouraged to bring any of the specified items, new boxed items only, to either of these two locations during the designated hours on September 16th and 17th. I have more information on that on our website, arabvoices.net, under the community calendar section. You will also find information on how to contribute online through organizations that are aiding the rescue and recovery efforts in Morocco, such as the official Moroccan donation account information, UNICEF USA, the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, Global Giving, CARE, Doctors Without Borders, and the Islamic Society of Greater Houston. Morocco was not the only country hit by a deadly catastrophe in the past few days. On September 10th, Storm Daniel hit several Libyan cities very hard with massive rain that caused catastrophic flooding, especially after two dams collapsed. The flooding was unprecedented and destroyed cities and villages. More than 6,000 people were killed, and the number is expected to be much higher as recovery efforts are still underway, with more than 10,000 still missing or unaccounted for. More than 30,000 people were displaced. Storm Daniel hit the cities of Baida, Benghazi, Al-Marj, Sousa, and the port city of Derna, which suffered the most after two dams collapsed, causing catastrophic flooding in the city. News reports speak of thousands of bodies still being recovered and that rescue teams are having difficulties accessing Derna and other cities cut off by the storm damage. The images seen on TV of the widespread destruction throughout Libya are heartbreaking. Thousands of families are left homeless, without shelter, food, and access to clean water. If you want to help, there are several organizations that are accepting donations, including UNICEF, the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, which has a presence on the ground in Libya and has delivered medical supplies, hygiene kits, and clothing to thousands of people. By the way, the Center for Arab American Philanthropy in the United States established a community's collective response for disaster relief fund. 100% of all donations, plus a 50-cent to the dollar match, will be granted to UNICEF. I have a link to that on our website, arabvoices.net. The Center for Arab American Philanthropy in the U.S. is also accepting donations for those who are affected by the earthquake in Morocco. Other organizations that are accepting donations for the floods in Libya include the United Nations World Food Program, Islamic Relief, International Medical Corps, and the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent. Plans are being finalized in Houston, Texas for those who want to donate items, and I will have more information on that on our website, arabvoices.net, under the community calendar section. Our hearts go out to the people of Morocco and to the people of Libya. I will take a break now, and when we come back, we will talk about the historic grand opening of the Sinan Shibani Marsh Arabs project and the construction of the amazing Modif structure on the lawn of Rice University in Houston, Texas. It is the first time in history that a traditional Modif is built outside of Iraq from reeds shipped from Iraq to the United States. We will also listen to the remarks of many of the attendees, volunteers, and organizers talking about Iraq, its culture, heritage, the Modif, and what it means to them, and much more. We'll be right back.
ليلة وليلة حب وغرام
That was the singer Hussein Al-Jasmi with the song Kulluna Al-Iraq. Welcome back to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston since 2002 and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Iraq, the cradle of civilization, with a very rich culture, heritage, great contributions to the world, and a rich ancient civilization, is also home to the Marsh Arabs, mainly in southern Iraq, near where the Tigris and Euphrates River join. The Marsh Arabs are a minority group of the Mesopotamian marshlands in modern-day South Iraq, with Sumerian and Bedouin origins. They have their own specific culture and architecture, way of life, and dialect, all rooted in and shaped by their environment, the marshes. A modif, Arabic word for a guest house, a 5,000-year-old structure, a traditional reed house, used to be one of the popular and unique builds of the Marsh Arabs in the swamps of southern Iraq. It serves as a cultural center, court, site for religious ceremonies, and a place for welcoming visitors. Well, a huge project named the Sinan Shibani Marsh Arabs Project, which included the building of a modif structure on the lawn of Rice University in Houston, Texas, about 7,300 miles from southern Iraq, where you can find an original modif, was launched in Houston, Texas about 2 years ago. The project is a collaboration between Archaeology Now and the Arab American Educational Foundation, and it provides one of the first opportunities for Americans to see and experience an authentic representation of an ancient culture with immense historical significance. One of the Sinan Shibani Marsh Arabs Project milestones was revealed at the grand opening ceremony held on September 9, 2023 at Rice University, and that is the modif created as a place to celebrate the story of the Iraqi marsh dwellers and to preserve 5,000 years of history. It was constructed in June and July 2023 by volunteers from across Houston, including many members of the multicultural and multi-faith Iraqi community who found purpose in the project. I attended the grand opening event, and let me tell you, what an incredible and amazing structure. No matter how much we describe the structure and the efforts it took to build it, it won't be sufficient and fair, so you really have to go see it in person. It is the first time of its kind ever built outside of Iraq from materials shipped from Iraq. Over 100 volunteers participated in building it from the Iraqi community in Houston and representatives from various organizations. The project was named after the late Sinan Shibani, son of Dr. Aziz Shibani, president of the Arab American Educational Foundation in Houston. Sinan, an Iraqi-American who passed away in March 2023, demonstrated throughout his life a remarkable dedication to the Arab and Iraqi communities, driven by his love for Iraqi culture and pride in his heritage. His passion for justice and desire to uplift Arab and Iraqi people led him on a journey from the bustling streets of Houston and Austin to the heartlands of Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq. During his time in Iraq, he immersed himself in its rich history, diligently gathering records from librarians that documented modern Iraqi political and cultural history. As the modif took shape, Sinan's legacy is woven into its very foundations, symbolizing the preservation of the Iraqi heritage he held dear to his heart. This cultural project will stand as a testament to the power of activism and the celebration and preservation of age-old traditions. The modif project stands as a tribute to Sinan's life's work, a beacon of hope, justice, and the celebration of culture. We will forever remember Sinan Shibani, the man who carried the joy of Iraqi sensibility and culture within him and who championed the rights and dignity of his people. I'm going to share with you now remarks from some of the organizers, volunteers, and attendees at the grand opening ceremony, which, by the way, were from all over the United States. Let's begin with the opening remarks of Dr. Aziz Shibani, president of the Arab American Educational Foundation in Houston, where he begins with a thank you note to Rice University President Dr. Reginald Dirosh.
On behalf of the Arab and Iraqi community, I sincerely thank you for hosting the Sinan Shibani Mudif Project on your campus, Mr. President. I would like also to thank Becky Lau, the CEO of the Archaeology Now, and the board for their partnership. We are also particularly thrilled and grateful that the project has been named after our beloved late son, Sinan. Sinan took great pride in his Iraqi heritage and has done extensive research on Iraq's contribution to human civilization from the ancient Mesopotamia and Sumerian times to the modern era. The Sumerians have lived in harmony with nature. Millions of birds from all around the world drank from their rivers and marshes. They raised buffaloes and ate fish. They made houses and canoes of reed, and they gave birth to the first writing, the first song, the first prayer, and the first beer. And ladies and gentlemen, what would American culture and Texas be without beer? The land of Iraq witnessed the birth of agriculture. Over the centuries, its society evolved, accumulating layers and layers of wealth and racial and religious diversity that we can still see today. The Iraqis who came to America brought their rich history with them, greatly contributing to the diversity of American culture and society. They also brought along their unity of purpose, showcasing how it is used to construct a great structure, but also to override divisions near and far, old and new. The project we celebrate today is a testimony to the unity, this collective work that truly defines Iraqi culture and highlights its contribution to the world. This project fulfills the mission laid out by President De LaRouche, who so beautifully stated that we do not tolerate diversity, we celebrate diversity. Thank you.
That was Dr. Aziz Shibani, President of the Arab American Educational Foundation. Next, we will listen to the opening remarks of Azam Alwash, founder and CEO of Nature Iraq.
So, this structure is made out of reeds upon reeds upon reeds. There is nothing but reeds in this structure. Even the ropes that were used are coming out of the reed. So one reed has no strength. It goes with the wind. A bundle is stronger. More bundles are stronger yet. But our reeds are only 2 meters, 3 meters high. They're not this long. So what we do is overlap them and splice them. And from the weak reed comes a strong column. In order to create these columns, though they're strong, they will move with the wind. So in order to give the structure rigidity, you bring in the two columns, you stick them sideways, and then you bring them together, pre-tensioning the arch. So now you have rigidity in this direction, but not in this direction. In order to get rigidity in this direction, you put multi-arches and then connect them with bundles of reed. And then to create the shade, you put reed mats made out of crushed reeds. This is what we do in the marshes in the afternoon when the work is done and you're getting ready to go to bed. You spend the 2 hours working together, joking, talking, discussing the problems, and creating a mat. It takes a woman or a family maybe 2 nights to create this mat. And that's what we produce, a bundle of reed that creates this. It's sold for 2,000 dinars, $1.50. When you make it into a mat, it's $4. It's an added value. Out of a natural resource that is worth nothing to you, you can feed a family. So now, this mat is used to cover. And guess what? What we do is we put this structure perpendicular to the direction of the prevailing wind. Why? So that when the wind comes in this direction, there is compression. And when it goes over, there is vacuum on this side. That creates cross ventilation. You come from the outside, it's 50 degrees centigrade, that's 120 for you. It's literally that hot. You go in, you're sweating, it's hot. Just with the shade, there is a 20 degrees drop. And then you have the cross ventilation, voila. You can take a siesta and escape the midday heat. It's Sumerian engineering, determined over eons of trial and error. But essentially, what I want to tell you all is that our forefathers lived in the world before electricity, before climate change. Eh? They knew how to live with the environment. If we want to live with our environment as the world changes, what we need to do is relearn our history, because the blueprint for our future is rooted in our history. So now everybody that has participated in the working of this motif knows how to build one. Okay, not without mistakes. All right, it's going to be with mistakes. I know the mistakes in this. I'm keeping my mouth shut. But the most important part of this experience for me is that it brought Iraq back together. The people that worked on this are Sunni, Shia, Turkoman, Kurd, everybody. The mosaic of Iraq, helped and aided by American volunteers, created our connection to Sumer. And then, now the young generation that has participated now has in their hands, in their memories, the knowledge of how to build with this one and transfer it to the future. You are the custodians of the future. Thank you very much.
That was Azam Alwash, founder and CEO of Nature Iraq. Next, I will air additional remarks I recorded from some of the organizers, volunteers, and attendees.
My name is Becky Lau. I'm the Executive Director of Archaeology Now. And this is the opening day, the grand opening of the Mood Eve, which is actually a two-year project. And it started because we realized that there were a group of people from the marshes here in Houston. These are our neighbors, and Houstonians deserve to know their story. And so we wanted to give and to partner with them so that they have an opportunity to tell their story to a wider community. And that's why we began this. And of course, you can't talk about the Iraqi marshes without a Mood Eve, which is the central part of any village. It's owned by the Sheikh, and it serves as a guest house, a court of law, or maybe a place where villages together for a business meeting, something like that. And so we commissioned elders in Iraq to gather reeds and to fashion them into components and to put them on a shipping container for Houston. It's the first time that this has ever been done. So this Mood Eve here in Houston is constructed entirely from authentic materials from the marshes. And when we got the container here, then we started assembling the components. And here it is on the campus of Rice University today, September 9th, 2023. Another reason, besides telling the story of the people from the marshes that are here in Houston, is this is a 5,000-year-old culture, and with traditions that are deep. And so in addition to that being important, the other thing that's so interesting is that the reeds that were used to build this Mood Eve are the same as reeds that grow here in Galveston and the marshes around Houston, Galveston area. And there's also some other synchronicities. The marshes in Iraq, of course, are threatened, but the marshes here are becoming threatened. There's huge loss of biodiversity here, just like there is in the marshes of Iraq. So we thought there are so many connections between these two areas of the world. And so that's another reason that we wanted to put this project together.
My name is Azam Alwash. I am the founder and the CEO of Nature Iraq, an Iraqi NGO that focuses on the restoration of the Iraqi environment and the preservation of its cultural heritage. I went back to Iraq in 2003, having been away for more than 25 years, working and tried to work on the restoration of the marshes. Pretty soon I figured out that the marshes, in order to restore the marshes, we need to not only protect the marshes, but protect all the sources of the water going up to the headwaters. Be that as it may, more importantly, I became even more aware of the importance of the culture that grew out of the marshes. The Sumerians, rightfully, are called the first writers. The first writers, the first people who invented writing, the first people who invented laws, written constitutions, and they lived originally a sustainable life. Their entire lifestyle is made out of the harvesting of the natural resources. People who live inside the marshes create their islands from the reeds. They create their houses from the reeds. They feed the young reeds to their water buffalo. They use the reeds to weave even nets to fish from the marshes. They use the dry reeds to power their ovens. This is a lifestyle that could not have been possible without building reeds. And this is an example of the complete architecture of Iraq. Mudif is a guest house. It's the largest house in a village. It is where the sheikh sits and receives guests, and where the tribal problems get resolved. It is a structure that is made out of reeds upon reeds upon reeds. There's no metal involved in the process. It is an example how one reed that is weak becomes a bundle, becomes stronger, binding them together makes them even stronger. From the weak short reeds, you can create a structure that's 5-6 meters high, that can withstand the weather, that can provide you shelter, that can provide you a place to meet, a place to rest. And so the skills needed to build this are dying because of the fact that people are moving to the cities. They don't associate the reeds with modernity, naturally, because... But the fact is, I became aware that, in fact, the solutions for living with our changed environment are right in front of us. So we need to preserve the skills. And so this project was an idea of how we can document the skills, but more importantly, tell the world that this is not a Sumerian heritage, this is a world heritage. And so it's really an incredible experience. I mean, I came here thinking, okay, we're gonna do this in 2-3 weeks. It lasted longer than that, but the most beautiful thing is that it brought the Iraqi diaspora community together. You know, and your journalists, they like to call Sunni Iraqi, Shia Iraqi, Kurds, and, you know, they like to highlight the differences. And really, we people living in Iraq, we don't experience these differences. Be that as it may, this project was a proof that the Iraqis, of all their sects, all their confessional beliefs, came together to preserve Iraqi heritage and to present it to the people in Houston. I hope that we're going to be building other mudifs in other places to tell the Americans that this is not only Iraqi heritage, this is your heritage. This is where Abraham was born, by the way. This is where Abrahamic religions were created. It is out of Sumer. And so the protection of this world heritage is not only Iraq's job, it's your job too.
My name is Ruth Ann Scaff. Today is September 9, 2023, the grand opening of the Mudif at Rice University campus. I am a board member with the Arab American Educational Foundation. I've had the immense privilege of being involved in the project from its inception. Archaeology Now invited the Arab American Educational Foundation to be its community partner. We gratefully accepted. We have been on a long journey that had a lot of unexpected twists and turns and delays. Thanks to the tenacious and creative and intelligent executive director, Becky Lau of Archaeology Now, we have managed to overcome all of those obstacles. And today we are celebrating the grand opening of this 5,000-year-old reed structure. Everybody has great joy in their heart, a great sense of community. It is genuinely a collective effort of Americans, of Arab Americans, Iraqi Americans, nationally, internationally, locally. It's an educational opportunity par excellence.
My name is Sinan Antun. I'm an Iraqi poet, writer, and academic. I teach at New York University, but I'm very happy to be here in Houston today to attend the inauguration of this Mudif, the traditional Iraqi structure dating back from the time of the Sumerians. I'm very happy and honored to be here because it's such a great, vibrant event that has gathered the Iraqi and Arab community here, and to, you know, inspire Iraqis and also inspire and educate Americans about the rich history of Iraq and its ancient civilization, which can teach us a lot about our world today in terms of the way the ancient Sumerians lived in a sustainable way, but also the amazing contributions to human civilization in terms of writing, poetry, and all kinds of inventions and discoveries. So I'm very grateful for my friend Dr. Aziz Shaybani for inviting me to be here and to be with the community, and thank you.
My name is Dr. Hussein Al-Awaidi. I'm originally from Iraq. I'm here in Houston. We have our clinic in here, but I'm very, very happy today that I'm among these people that, you know, made this kind of amazing project of Mudif, which is really kind of a symbolize the Iraqi history, the Iraqi culture, which is coming from the south of Iraq, especially for Lahwar, which is the marshes of Iraq. This is a unique place because all the ancient civilization of Sumerian, they built this kind of structure, and it is like 5,000 years ago, and we kind of replicated this structure in here. And, you know, I want to say that this is the first time, you know, this kind of project happened or built outside of Iraq. So we are lucky to have this kind of structure, which is the Mudif, that, you know, literally built by reeds. And these reeds are kind of cultivated from south of Iraq, from the marshes, from a city or an area called Chubaish from Iraq, and shipped from all over there, you know, thousands of, you know, miles or kilometers, came to Houston by a container, and then we received it in here. And to be honest, it was a little bit challenging because we don't have this kind of skills to build this kind of structure. It's all, you know, as I said, it's all reeds and it's all like, you know, ropes that you have to assemble it, and then we do it in here. So despite the hot weather of Houston, we kind of every night we finish our jobs, our work, whether, you know, engineers or, you know, physicians or dentists or, you know, entrepreneurs, they finish their job and they come in here, they gather and they start building the Mudif by their own hands. And this is kind of amazing because it got everyone together. It's all being done by volunteers that participated in building this. And this is kind of amazing, you know, because when I see this kind of structure, I see like, oh yeah, you know, I built this, you know, corner. I sit it in this, you know, robe. I did that. And this is exactly what makes us all kind of excited about it. It got everyone together. That's the message that we want to deliver to the world or to the audience, that Iraqis, despite all the wars and all the hardships that you know, faced Iraq, but still we are united. We still, like, we are like one hand, one heart, one soul. We represent this kind of great country that, you know, it's a kind of, you know, a heaven or some kind of area that unite everyone, you know, in here. So thank you also here for, you know, joining us in this kind of amazing opening. Also, it's going to be like a site for, you know, high school and middle school students. They will come, they have the trips, educational, they will just, you know, have educational, to see the culture, see the arts, see the, you know, the history. We're so excited because, you know, it's been built on the University of Rice University. It's a great, great location, midtown of Houston. And that's exactly what makes us so proud. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for coming and then, you know, covering this kind of event. Thank you for your radio to do that. And welcome. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Ali Daher. I'm the president of the Arab American Community and Cultural Center in Houston. Just want to congratulate our friends and family from the Iraqi community and also the Arab community in general for this amazing project, bringing our culture to Houston, or at least a part of it. Really makes us so proud, and it's such a huge project. It took a lot of time and effort and a lot of volunteering time from many people to make it happen. And again, congratulations. It's beautiful, it's awesome, and I really invite everybody to come and see it and enjoy the project and the structure and the beauty of it.
Hello, my name is Amir Al-Nahaz. I'm with the Arab American Educational Foundation, and we are proud to have been associated with this project. We teamed up with Archaeology Now to tell the story of the Marsh Arabs in Iraq. And part of that telling the story was to bring a modif to here, to Houston. And we actually got the reed that is needed for the project from Iraq, and we had master builders in Iraq who made all the components and put them in the container and shipped them over here. And through the amazing work of many volunteers, many of them Iraqi Americans, but also other Arab Americans and other Houstonians that are interested in archaeology and history and culture, over many days through the summer, many days and nights through the summer, the modif was built through the efforts of these volunteers. It was very heartening to see people working together day after day on a project that would meant a lot to them. At least for many of the Iraqi Americans, this was kind of a piece of home that they get to build here in Houston. One of the fascinating things about the project is the way the structure was designed, or is designed, and that goes back all the way to thousands of years, 5,000 years to the Sumerian period. And the ingenuity of it, of how they built the columns and then they brought them together to create arches, is just fascinating to me. I'm a structure engineer in training, and it was just fascinating on how they were able to come up with these designs 5,000 years ago. I was very happy to see so many people at the grand opening today. I see so many people interested in the project, and we will stay open. The modif will stay up until early December, when we'll have the last event. Until then, we'll have a few family days and a few days of open house. The public, you know, can come and see it. But we will announce all of that, and we'll let the public know. Thank you.
We are now speaking with Dr. Aziz Shibani, president of the Arab American Educational Foundation in Houston, on the lawn of Rice University in front of the Modif structure. And he is going to tell us a whole lot more about it. Dr. Aziz, it's good to have you again on Arab Voices.
Thank you very much, Saeed, for all what you do to spread the message to the community and to educate the community about our projects. This project, the Modif project, started 2 years ago. We started thinking about it, and we found a good partner, the Archaeology Today, who really showed interest in bringing all the traditions from Iraq. And so we brainstormed, and we decided to have the structure, and then we got Rice University was generous enough to allow us to do it on its campus. And the Modif was a very hard work that took a year to finish, from getting all the reeds from the south of Iraq shipped to Houston, and getting more than 100 volunteers to build it here in Rice University. I think the main mission is to promote the culture of the ancient Iraqis and to show people that when the conditions are permissive, people are creative and create civilizations, whoever they are, wherever they are. And this goes against the concept of Orientalism, that the West is part of the world that contributes to science, and the East is only for superstitions. The Sumerians that lived 5,000 years ago lived very harmonically with nature, and they utilized the nature very friendly, a lesson that we all should learn, because today we are not very not being very nice to the nature, and the many things we are destroying and affecting the ability of people to live peacefully and in a healthy manner. So these people used reeds to build houses, to build canoes, they fished and they raised buffaloes, and they also had a very important social life. They created the first writing in the history, the first poem, the first prayer, the first musical instrument, the harp, and the first beer in the history was made in summer. The marshes are the areas that are between Tigris and Euphrates, where the water seeps, leaving thousands of miles very wet. And this is the second largest wet area in the world. So people learned how to live and to use nature to their advantage. The Epic of Gilgamesh, the oldest epic in the history, was made by the Sumerians and raised very important questions that we still wrestle with them up to today. What happens after death? The king did not want to die. He wanted to defeat death. And he tried to find a way to defeat death. He was told there is a small herb in the bottom of one of the lakes, and he had to go a very big journey that lasted months. He found the herb, he took it away, he wanted to give it to his people so that everyone will live forever. On his way, while he was taking a bath in one of the lakes, the snake came and took the herb and swallowed it. And so he went back to his people, and he discovered a very important fact, that the only way to immortality is to live happily and to do good work. And this lesson carries on to the Iraqis, who have inherited the most important lessons from Gilgamesh, to live happily and to be united. And we have seen that here during the formation and of this important structure, where Iraqis of diverse ethnicities, languages, skin color, the different parts of Iraq geographically, they came all together unified by a single purpose, good purpose, which is basically to introduce the message and mission of the what their grandfathers did and their contribution to the humanity. It seems that unity is engraved in the history of Iraq, and these divisions are all secondary, and I think I can see that today in our Iraqi community in Houston.
My name is Dr. Omar Aldabag. I'm the president and the founder of the Iraqi American Community, which is 5083 nonprofit organization. We are a part of this Modif project here at the Rice University in Houston, Texas. I'm one of the archaeology now board member and also a planning committee. So this is a great project. It's very significant. It's to promote culture, heritage, civilization, and folklore, Iraqi folklore. And it's also a bridge between Iraq and U.S. And also it's addressing water shortage issues that right now happening in Iraq. So this is great, and we are very happy, and we are very appreciative to all efforts today at the grand opening. A big thank to our planning committee, including volunteers, partnering agencies, and sponsors. And also we are much appreciative to the Rice University for being such a great host for us. The program will remain, the Mudif will be here for another 3 months. We'll have programming events every weekend. Please follow up the Archaeology Now Facebook and website, also the Iraqi American Community Facebook page for more information. Thank you so much.
My name is Gaida Mekki. I'm a dentist from Iraq. Also, I'm a board member at the ACC, the Arab American Cultural and Community Center. I'm here to represent my ACC, my Arabic, my organization, in this nice project. Plus, I'm Iraqi, so I'm from Iraq. So it is the I feel like this is the best opportunity for me to show my history, the history of my country, to show the history of my country, because this structure who's sitting here now in Rice University is represent around over 6,000 years ago. It's a Sumerian structure. That's the Sumerian built it back 6,000 years ago. So to have it here, it means a lot to me, because I want to tell you a funny story. You know, when I was in Iraq, I didn't have a chance to visit the Mudif back home, because the area of Mudif at that time, I'm talking about the 90s and the beginning of 2000, it was very dangerous to go there and see the area. So to have the Mudif here in my second home in Houston means a lot to me. It was like, oh my God, finally I have the chance to visit the Mudif and see it from inside. So I'm here, the chair of the furniture committee. I did my best. I did a lot of research. I want to copy it exactly how it looks like there. So you're going to see pictures of the Mudif, and you will see how it represents. I don't want to say 100%, but it might like represent around 90% of what we have back home there. And I just did search, and I just looked to the photos, and this is the way that I visualize it, and this is the way that I want all the people, all the world, to see it and feel it. Just to tell you, I wish everyone is here just to smell the reeds from my country. It's different. It's a different perfumes. It's unique, very. I don't know. It's warmy. It gives us for me feeling. So I hope everyone can come and visit it and look at it and see the great architecture mind that the Sumerian people, they had it at that time. Thank you so much, and welcome to my Mudif.
My name is Ali Madloum. I'm 19 years old. I was born and grew up in Baghdad, Iraq. I participated in building the Mudif since day one. The goal of building the Mudif is to advocate about the risk of dryness that faces the Iraqi marshes, the problem which is actually an international environmental problem, as the Iraqi marshes is the home of many species of the migrating birds.
Hello, my name is Sarah Azat, and I'm here at the Marsh Arabs Mudif project today because I'm very interested in the whole concept behind our cultural preservation and bringing old knowledge back so that we can actually help to mitigate climate change. So I think that this project is a really amazing example of ways that we can, you know, learn from the knowledge of our ancestors. The fact that this type of structure is over 5,000 years old is mind-blowing. Talking about the engineering and, you know, how these homes were oriented in such a way that they stayed cool without air conditioning, and that, you know, they were wholly sustainable is something that we need to incorporate into the way we live today. So reducing our overall energy demand is going to be huge, and it's something that I'm highly interested in. So yeah, amazing that this project came to Houston. So lucky that it's here at Rice University. I have met people from all over the country here today that traveled specifically to see this event. So just an overall very amazing cultural experience, not just for the sake of the culture itself, but what it can teach us and really what we can take from that in terms of how we need to, forge the future for the next generations, many, many generations to come. So thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Dalia Khalil. I'm an Iraqi American, and my parents were a large part in making this Malif event. I myself have never visited Iraq. I was actually born in Malaysia, or Malaysia in English, and I've never really, as growing up, I always had trouble connecting with my culture. My Arabic is so-and-so, and everything is a little like fuzzy when it comes to calling myself Iraqi, because although I call myself Iraqi and I call myself American, I feel like an imposter sometimes due to the fact that I haven't ever visited Iraq in my life. So I feel like this Malif event means a lot to me because it really makes me feel like I belong somewhere. Because as a kid, I always talked about being Iraqi, but I've never really known what being Iraqi really meant. And growing up, I always participated in the culture. There's different holidays for Islam holidays like Eid al-Fitr and Ramadan, and I've always fasted for Ramadan, but I've never really known the culture behind it. I've only known the religion behind it. So this Malif event really connected me in a way to what it really means to be Iraqi, and it really connected me to how life was in the past and in the present, because seeing the different foods and seeing the different people coming together by just one house, it does actually mean a lot. And I don't know, seeing my parents really happy, like that's what's really bringing me meaning right now. Just really making me feel like solidified in the fact that I am Iraqi. Yeah.
At the grand opening event, I also met Noor, an Iraqi American artist who had some of her artwork on display. It was a three-dimensional map of Iraq showing the marshland. It was a unique and amazing piece of art by the talented Noor, known as the Afaf Arts.
My name Noor, my business name Afaf Arts. I'm artist. I love fine arts, and I do all my arts like painting on wood, canvas, ceramic, porcelain, and also technique with resin and carving, clay carving, cutting wood as a order. I like exactly the special work, like the special art. So this is my project. I will talk now about it. This is very unique project. This is the first time I did like this. It looked like a samples, 3D samples. I made it from A to Z. It's talking about the Iraqi map, first one. In Iraqi map, I show five big cities in Iraq, and also I show the Tigris rivers with the Euphrates rivers, and how when they it's merged together and make the marshland. So and then now I do zoom in to the marshland in Iraqi map as a separate part with the marshland map. So now we talk about the marshland map. So I show in this map how the marshes mix, and how the people lived in this marshes like the culture, their culture, tradition, clothes, and all the facilities and details that they use it exactly in their life. So if you're looking at it, a lot of staff on it, like tanur. This is a famous thing that we use it to make the bread. And also the fish, they do fishing, and they do al-mazgouf. This is a famous food. Iraqi people use it exactly in South Iraq. And also there is a lot of stuff like the marsh reeds, how they cut it, how they make it, and also the madif. If you're looking around, you will see the madifs. It's separate on the land. And the boat also, I'm looking at the boat also, they use it to transfer from areas between place. And the material that I use it on this project, the paste, wood, and plastic, ceramic, and also the real marsh reeds. That's what I use it on it. And of course, the marshes make it from epoxy resin. So everything did it separate. I do, and I use a lot of kind of fine arts on it, like painting, technique with resin, and cutting, and clay carving. So thank you so much for that. And if you want to add me at my social media, my business name's Afaf Arts. I have on social media, Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook. Thank you so much, and appreciate that. Thank you.
What you just heard were remarks I recorded from some of the organizers, volunteers, and attendees at the grand opening of the Sinan Shibani Marsh Arabs project, which included the construction of a modif structure on the lawn of Rice University in Houston, Texas. The modif structure will stay at Rice through December 2023. There are many activities and events planned between now and December, including talks on Iraqi marsh culture and ecology, documentary screening on life in the Iraqi marshes, and more. I have a list of those events on our website, arabvoices.net, under the community calendar section. Kudos to the organizers, the Arab American Educational Foundation, Archaeology Now, and all the volunteers for the success of this huge project and their great contribution to the greater Houston area. You've been listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the U.S. and Europe. Our shows are archived online, and you can listen to them by visiting arabvoices.net. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.